Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Well, here we are. In expected fashion, the Green Bay Packers got their butts kicked, right? We talked about it last week after this game. I said,
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thought they were going to get whooped. Monday, I said I thought they were going to get whooped. Tuesday, I said I thought they were going to get whooped. Wednesday, I said I thought they were going to get whooped. Thursday, I was home, a little under the weather, not too big of a deal, so I wasn't on the air. I came back Friday, and maybe... I was still feeling a bit under the weather because I predicted the Packers to only lose by 7. Had a change of heart. Should have stuck with my gut. Packers lose 22-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Season is over. However, there is room for you to come on and vent. That's what this postgame show is about, right? Come on, vent. Say what you got to say. I know people are mad at LaFleur. I know people are mad at Jordan Love. I'm sure there are some that are mad at Jeff Hafley. So let's go. Nicolay Law Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Friday, we talked about the fact that you had to play almost a perfect game to win this football game. Had to be almost perfect. Did Philadelphia have to do that? No. If they would have played the Lions next week, would they have had to done it? No. If they would have played the Vikings at some point, would they have had it done? No. But this Packers team is not good enough to overcome mistakes. They're just not. And when you beat teams that aren't that good, you can have mistakes and still win. When we talked about this on Friday, I was nervous that the whole rhetoric of Jordan Love's got to be more aggressive, Jordan Love has to take more shots, I was nervous that this was going to be something that was going to be spreading in the locker room. that Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur were like, you know what? Yeah, he should take more shots. And what happened? Interceptions. That's what happened. I mean, that one there at the end of the game, that was just, screw it. I'm just going to chuck this thing up. I'm done. So three guys around the receiver at that point, you know, he'd given up. And to be honest, I'd given up at about the 4 minute and 50 second mark, whatever it was, after the Malik Heath catch out of bounds. That's when I said the game was over. So that, it was done by that point for me anyhow. But that's pretty much what that was. You are not going to win a Super Bowl with this offense at this point. Not this year, not next year, not the year after that. It's not going to happen. Your quarterback must get back to playing the way he was in the second half of last year. Your quarterback hasn't played like that since the second half of last year. Your quarterback got paid because of how he played in the second half of last year. That's why Jordan Love got all that money. If this is what we're going to get going forward, then they overpaid him. Plain and simple. They overpaid him. It was a mistake. Now, I will say that I supported giving him all that money. I was all in. I was like, yeah, he's good. Let's go. Let's go see what we got. But maybe that was career stuff. CeCe Sabathia, the Brewers trade for, has an immortal run with the Brewers. And, you know, unbelievable. You know, one ERA, whatever it was, when they made that run to the playoffs, breaking the 26-year streak. It was an immortal run. John Salmons, the Bucks trade for, the Fear the Deer year. He plays out of his mind for the second half of the season after they trade for him. Got paid, was never that good again. So there's lots of examples of guys that get paid and then never have that type of success again. Now, Sabathia was still a stud with the Yankees for the next few years after they got him, sure. But to that immortal type of run that he made, pitching on 3 days rest, on 3 days rest, on 3 days rest down that stretch, going into a free agency year, that's crazy. But it worked. And he got paid a ton. Jordan Love, this is a huge, huge next season for Jordan Love. It just is. Because now you have to figure out whether or not you as an organization screwed up. Not from the aspect of he's awful, but from the aspect of can you win the whole thing with him as your quarterback? And if the answer is still yes, then what is the offense going to be? Because this offense that they ran here in the second half of this year, was based around the running back. The offense that they ran in the second half of last year was based around the quarterback, the receivers, and the tight end. So Jordan Love has played in multiple styles of the offense. The offense that they ran in the first half last year, very vanilla, very plain, because they didn't trust the receivers to run the right routes and everything else, which, fine, I get. Second half, they open it up, and away goes that offense. They come back this year, Love gets hurt multiple times, so everything's screwed up in the first half of the year, fine. They come out of the second injury with Jordan Love out of that bye week. They get super more conservative with running the football and attacking that way, not putting as much pressure on Jordan Love. So what are you going to be? What do you want it to be at this point? Then the next question after that is going to be, who is going to be that guy in this receiver group that is going to be a for certainty to catch the football and make big plays when Jordan Love is on the field? Because you don't have one of those either. Because you have to be available to be in the conversation. So you don't have one of those wide receivers either at this point. You don't. A guy that's really good at catching the football, who multiple times on the game today, we heard Tom Brady say, oh, Tucker Kraft was open, but he did this. Oh, Tucker Kraft was open, but he did this. So I don't know what's going on there. But that is the guy that should be getting a bunch of targets and isn't getting nearly as many that he probably should be getting at this point. And yes, you had injuries, but so did they. Their best cornerback gets hurt, Darius Slay. One of their best linebackers leaves on a cart. He's done. You had a bunch of injuries too. And again, the idea of having veteran backups on the offensive line is something that you want. And you had a guy in Andre Dillard that has been that guy. But Andre Dillard has been hurt for weeks. Could you have picked up a veteran lineman maybe going into this game? Yeah, maybe. How more effective could he have been? I don't know. But clearly, that became an issue as well. And again, I'm just talking about the offense. I haven't even talked about the defense yet. I'm just talking about the offense. Because for me, you could talk about this game. A majority of this game falls on Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and that offense. Not Josh Jacobs, though. He's free and clear. Everybody else, they're at fault for why they lost this game to the Eagles, in my opinion. 22-10. I'll take some calls. Let's get some text messages. Let's get some tweets. Let's get after this. Nicolay Law Talk and text line. It's real easy. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. Tommy Wirtz, your thoughts.
You know, Sparky, I leaving this game right now, I don't leave this game in heartbreaking fashion. I leave this game, though, feeling that this season doesn't feel like underachievement. It feels like collapse to me. Do you understand what I mean when I differentiate those two?
Because in your mind, they fell apart the last 3 weeks.
The last 3 weeks were awful. That was a completely different Packers team we saw those last
Tommy,
3 weeks.
Tommy, you were on this postgame show last week after they lost to the Bears. And I was going, they're going to get absolutely annihilated by Philly. There's no way they can win. And you were so high and mighty on, the Packers are going to be fine. All week long on the Mason Crosby show. Which, again, tomorrow morning, 9 to 11, Tommy Wirtz will be there. Mason Crosby will be there. Mitch Thunder Nellis will be there. They'll be taking your calls, your texts, all that stuff. Former Packer wide receiver Randall Cobb will be on the show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as well. Get his thoughts on what happened in the Packer game today. You all week, you were just pushing that narrative. All the Packers are fine. All the Packers are fine. What could you possibly have seen last Sunday in that game to make you think that they were fine?
Well, I will say this. I think that the Green Bay Packers defense absolutely belonged in this game. They did not look outmatched. I know Saquon went over 100. It did not hurt you in any way. Anytime Saquon had the ball until that last run of the game, he was pretty inefficient the entire day. They had a lot of opportunities on offense where they completely threw it away. After Malik Heath not getting his foot down, like you mentioned earlier, there were times missing Tucker Kraft, like you were talking about. And then that third down play, when Josh Jacobs is not on the field at the end of the game, season on the line, and I've been loving Emmanuel Wilson all year, but you cannot give the ball to Emmanuel Wilson with the season on the line.
You gave the ball to Emmanuel Wilson and said, run up the middle, Emmanuel. That was even a bigger crime at this point. They were killing you up the middle all game long. All game, they were getting penetration up the middle. You sent him up the middle to run into that brick wall. You could have had the ball. You would have run into the brick wall. Josh Jacobs could have had the ball. He would have ran into the brick wall. Now, maybe he bounces off of the brick wall and goes outside and gets the yards, but he had no chance before that play was even run. And Jordan Love, I'm pretty sure, check to that damn play at the line of scrimmage.
Yes, it looked like it. Absolutely. And I don't understand why Matt LaFleur just really... I haven't seen a stretch of three games that I can remember where he was outcoached pretty much three games in a row. Do you remember a time where Matt LaFleur obviously was outcoached three games in a row? Today, he did get a short end of the stick when his offense, or his special teams rather, first opening kickoff, you lose the ball, right? He doesn't even get a chance. That right there should have been a dead giveaway.
But start there. That was right there. That Keyshawn Nixon play right there was a sign of what the rest of the game was going to look like.
Yes.
It was. Before we even got going, that was the opening set. First of all, Keyshawn Nixon, it was helmet to helmet. No call. Tom Brady referee is like, oh, that's a good hit. What do you mean it was a good hit? It was helmet to helmet. Then the above angle shows Keyshawn Nixon had the ball. It was wrestled away from him. They went to review, came back and said, nope, Eagles ball, here we go. That was two screw jobs in a row on the opening play. And as a Packer fan, I'm sitting here going, this is not good. And I was in a little text group at that point, and I just put, and it begins. Because you could just feel from that very moment, it was going to be a long day. And it was a long day indeed. Nicolay Law fan talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us as well at the Fan Milwaukee. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back, take your calls, take your tweets or texts, all that fun stuff. Packers lose to the Philadelphia Eagles today. It was not pretty, folks. Not pretty at all. 22-10. It is a Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers lose 22-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Packers done. Packers go home. And it's probably for the best as they just had all these injuries. Dobbs, Jenkins, Reed, Walker, Myers all leave with injuries. Myers, you really feel bad for because going into free agency pretty much, right? So he now is going to have that all wiped out, it looks like, as well as far as any chance of getting any type of real deal. Now, maybe that ends up means the Packers end up bringing him back. We'll have to wait and see, but lots to be mad about in this one. And your opportunity to dial up the Nicolay Law fan talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Can vent, get stuff off your chest, and let's talk. Open line of communication right here on The Fan after each and every game all season long, even though this is going to be our last postgame show. You know, we'll be back. We'll do this all over again coming up next season as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, to the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line. Dave in Cudahy, you're first up on The Fan. What's going on, Dave?
Hello, gentlemen. Somber night, I know, I understand. And I, for understandable reasons, we are ticked off. We're, you know, we as a fan base feel a little bit like we squandered a lot, right? I hope I'm speaking for the many here. And this just seems like this was a league-wide issue, but it really affected us here in Green Bay and Wisconsin altogether. The coaches just all progressively seemed to dial it back on the intelligence levels. The plays that were being drawn up, the positioning for plays on the defense and special teams just is completely nonsensical. I can't tell you how many times I can walk past a TV as I'm going through the Quick Trip and see a play and go, oh, someone's out of position. You know what I mean? It takes you 5 seconds to look at what the defense is doing, what the offense is doing, what the special teams is doing, and saying that is the wrong play. Now, I am going to give a little bit of an asterisk on Jordan Love because we saw a lot of great from him this season, but again, a lot of really idiotic things. I think he can do it. I think he's got more than enough potential to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, he does need to come down to earth. We do need to realize that his arm is not what Aaron Rodgers was, what Brett Favre was. He needs to realize that himself because this dude keeps launching balls down the field thinking that he's going to hit it to 80 yards to, you know, fill in the name of X number wide receiver, when really it's getting about 40 at best. So he needs to realize his potential and his actual ability, and then we can actually win some games, hopefully with LaFleur and company doing some things that seem relatively smart.
Okay, first of all, thanks for the call, Dave. Here's a couple of things here. One, he has more than enough arm talent to make the throws that Aaron made or that Brett made or whatever the case may be. He has the arm talent. The issue is making the right decisions, right? And giving your guy a chance to make that catch one way or the other. Not underthrowing guys. It's not, oh boy, he doesn't have the arm to get the ball there. No, he just underthrew him. That's not it at all. Or, oh boy, you know, that ball was underthrown. Well, why? And we go back and watch, and he's thrown off of his back foot. Which was the same thing that happened last year. But again, the difference last year is, in the second half of last year, when Jordan Love threw off his back foot, he was still completing passes. He was still making plays. And that's why I say maybe that was his career moment, where you're never going to see that again from this dude, where you're never going to see that dude play that good ever again. Maybe that was his one time, and it worked out to be perfect timing for him because they got him a gigantic contract. But maybe we just don't ever see that again. Maybe that's as good as it's going to be, and we don't get the benefit of watching that again. Or maybe it's this offense continuously changing under Matt LaFleur, and he can't seem to get comfortable into what they want to do. Maybe the play calling isn't putting him in the position that he needs to be in. I think most people would say that maybe last year the play calling was more in sync, more cohesive of what they were trying to do in the second half last year. Far more so than what it's been this year. Last year there were games where Jordan Love couldn't miss. And you're like, man, this offense is unbelievable. You wait till you see this offense next year when all these guys have a year of experience. Oh my goodness. And then the quarterback and the receivers haven't looked anything like they did last year. And there's been a lot of defense online with numbers with Jaden Reed. Oh man, look, his numbers are as good as last year. Oh man, Jaden Reed's numbers are better than last year. Oh, all the hate on Jaden Reed. Listen, this isn't that hard, man. Fumbling the ball, dropping balls, all that other stuff. You can throw all these numbers out that you want to me about Jaden Reed, and that's fine and dandy. I'm not buying in until I see more consistency of what you need from him. There's been too many moments you're like, man, dude, you're killing me. There's been too many of those. Dontayvion Wicks, man, you're killing me. That's been a thing. That's been a thing most of the year. This isn't just something that just happened. Yes, you saw Jaden Reed earlier in the year when Tommy Wirtz, my producer, was losing his mind saying he's going to be one of the greatest receivers in Packers history. Losing his mind. Yeah, you saw glimpses of how good he could be. Last year, you saw Dontayvion Wicks glimpses of where people were saying he might be their one. It may not be Watson. Wicks might be the one on this team going forward. Then you see all the offseason workouts. Wicks and Reed working out together without their shirts on, videos posting up, right? Getting into it, everybody's like, oh man, they're working hard. Here we go, they're going to be great. I'm not saying they weren't working hard, but it probably didn't translate the way that everybody thought it was going to translate. And again, the quarterback himself hasn't played as good as he did in the second half of last year either. This all goes hand in hand. The coach calling the plays, there hasn't been a rhythm. Play action passes. How many play action passes did we see today? How many times was the dude under center? Tucker Kraft was under center, I think, more than Jordan Love was in this game. Now, all that stuff that plays into this. I just mad, frustrated, whatever. And again, I didn't think they were going to win this game anyhow. It's one thing to lose to a more talented team. It's another thing to lose because you suck. Because you keep turning the ball over. Because your guys keep doing stupid things. See, those are two different things. We lose to Philly because they got better players. Cool. You lose to Philly because you screwed up again, like you did against the Lions multiple times, like you did against the Vikings multiple times. That's the type of stuff that I can't get down with. That's the type of stuff that drives me nuts. If it happens once, okay. But it literally happened every time we saw a good team this year. Every time. Including Philly the first time back in week 1 against Brazil. Professional athletes don't like the word choke. They despise it. They hate it. They hate when fans say it. Hey, man, I don't know what you want to call it, and Mason Crosby tomorrow morning from 9 to 11 will have on former Packer wide receiver Randall Cobb at 10 o'clock. Mason will get to vent in that first hour before Randall Cobb gets on. I don't know what you want to call this. But every time you get yourself in a big moment, this team just folds tent and just spits up all over themselves. Is that coaching? Is that players? I don't know. But it better change between now and next year. Otherwise, it's going to be the same old, all over again. I've had my fill of watching this stuff. Nate Northside, you're up next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on the Fan as the Packers lose 22-10. Sparky with you. What's up?
What's up, Sparky? For me, the team reflects the leadership. So if the team is undisciplined, that means the leadership is undisciplined. What have we said time and time again all year? This team has killed itself by self-inflicting penalties as far as penalties, holding, unnecessary roughness, and stuff like that. T.J. Slayton, for instance, today, you're stopping Saquon Barkley. You're trying to get the ball back. You're trying to get the ball back and try to work something down 9 points. And the whistle is blown, and he throws Saquon Barkley, try to throw him to the ground and gets a 15-yard penalty. And now you just wasted two timeouts. The undisciplined, who does that fall on? Falls on coaching, to me. When you go down a list of all the games that we played against all these top teams, what has killed us? Penalties. And what has yet to been corrected all year long? The penalties, the holdings, the unnecessary roughnesses, the personal fouls, all of this leads to Matt LaFleur coaching. And I'm not saying that he should be fired, but I'm saying at this point, how long do you let this – do you let him just let it be okay, just get into the playoffs and just getting put out first round or winning one game and not getting nowhere?
Well, this is the thing. Should Mike Tomlin be fired in Pittsburgh? Because that's been going on for a while now, where they win every year. His man's never had a losing season. They haven't won in the postseason in several years. They lost again in disappointing fashion, I guess you could say. And there are a lot of people that think he should be out of the job. Man's never had a losing season. So what's the standard going to be in Green Bay? Higher than what it is in Pittsburgh?
And I feel that he should be somewhat held responsible too, because at the end of the day, the job is to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I've always gone back to the analogy when the Brewers said we're trying to take bites of the apple. This is not baseball. The playing field is not as drastic as baseball. You know, with the Dodgers having making money basically themselves. I can understand the fact that, okay, maybe the standard for baseball has changed. With the cap in the NFL, this is not acceptable for you to just be able to just get there and not produce when you get there. With Rodgers, they got there and it always happened where something was always wrong. And it's like the special teams was wrong. The defense was wrong. Like, at this point, this is your brigade, Matt LaFleur. You're the head captain. You're the general. When are you going to take? When is it time that he's take responsibility? But when are you going to actually put into something and step your foot down and tell them what was going on? You think Dan Campbell is just going to sit there and just let Ben Johnson do something that if he doesn't agree with? No, he's going to put his foot down and he's going to state it that I want this done. I want to go for it.
But this is the this is the problem. Matt LaFleur is the play caller. So who's going to step to Matt LaFleur?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's even a bigger caveat. You're calling the plays, and we're still not getting production. The stuff that you say needs to be changed, you're still not changing it, and you're calling the plays.
Correct. That's right, Nate. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. See, that's the thing. And that's why I go back to last year. The offense was just far more cohesive. Far more cohesive last year. They used play action too. And we haven't seen the play action used nearly as much as it was last year. Now we've become this shotgun team, and you don't even run a ton of play action out of that either. And that's what works. Do you know who the number one play action quarterback is in the National Football League through 18 weeks through the regular season? It was Jared Goff by a ton. By a ton. Pretty much almost doubled up on what Jordan Love did. You have to use play action in this league. You just do. That's part of it. And what I don't understand is those are the principles that Shanahan had. and his daddy, Mike Shanahan, with Elway. That's what it was. And you completely abandoned it, even though you had a great running game with Josh Jacobs all year, and you should have been using it more than you did. And again, that goes back to coaching. That goes back to Matt LaFleur at the end of the day. That's who this falls on. And we're talking, again, about offense. We're not talking about in-game management, right? How to run 2 minutes, when to go to fourth down, when not to go to fourth down, because the majority of you can't stand that about Matt LaFleur and how he screwed that up this year. How many times in a post-game press conference throughout the year did we hear Matt LaFleur fall on the sword and say, whoops, that's my fault. Whoops, that's my fault. Whoops, that's my fault. Over and over and over. So there's a lot to be critical of Matt LaFleur for, no question. They going to fire him? No chance. Not getting fired. Well, double-digit games. You're not going to fire him. So he's going to be back again next year. They have got to get back to what this offense is going to be going forward, of how this offense creates bigger plays. Whether that is going out and getting somebody, whether that is spending a boatload of money and getting Devontae Adams, if that's spending a boatload of money and getting T. Higgins, whatever that is. But you have to figure it out. If it's adding a player, that's how it fixes it, then do what you got to do. If it's schematically changing stuff to get to that point, again, do what you got to do. But there has to be more to this than what we've seen. There just does. He has to make changes. And if he's not willing to make changes, then we're going to be right back in the same boat again. We'll be a really good regular season team that when it comes crunch time and you're facing really good defenses, that you're going to fold because you got nothing to go to. There is not that guy. You could say Josh Jacobs, fine. But you saw what happened. Jenkins went out and it was over. Jordan Davis was eating everybody for lunch at moments. Just pushing guys back. That offensive line was getting moved back. Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. Johnny, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Packers lose 22-10. Sparky with you. What's up, Johnny?
Yeah, I wanted to say, first off, terrific season. I think the panic button is getting pushed way too fast. The Steelers are a 1-3 year player team, not many veterans or whatever. You don't want these blunders to happen, especially in the big game like this game or whatever. But as you see, it still happens. What I've seen with the Packers all year was you've seen lots of glimpses of beauty, offense. Whether it was offense, defense, special teams, and coaching, quarterbacking, everything at some point in time looked absolutely gorgeous. And then flip side, it was always something every game that lacked. You know, we never put together a streak of consistent games. Not even the games we won, it was always something. You know, whether it's offense, losing gas and we kicking field goals and things like that.
Right. You never put together four quarters in a game all year.
Nope. We didn't put together. And that is what murdered us. That killed us because all season long, you're on the edge of your seat. Like whether we got the ball or whether we on defense, which version of us is about to show up for this possession instead of, we couldn't put our foot down, and we know Jordan Love got the ball. We know he's about to go score. Or we know it's the defense needs to stop, and we're going to get a stop. You just never got that. You just never got it consistently enough to play with the big boys. So we've proven that we can play. And like I said, that's why I believe the panic button is being set a little too soon. Remember, this is only 1-3 year players, all up and down the roster. Jordan Love, to me, basically, is just a second year quarterback. I mean, you can be behind Aaron Rodgers. You could have been behind Roger Staubach, but that doesn't substitute being in the game when you were the man.
Yeah, you're right.
Now he got he's got 2 years under his belt. Okay, now we are expecting this upcoming year, we are expecting that turn to be made now, you know. But too much is being made. I mean, too much is being put on for this extremely young Green Bay Packer team. They put on, I mean, it was a double-digit win team. You know, that, I don't think people understand how hard 10 games is. Whether we play, I mean, in the roughest division, in fact. You know, I know we went 1-5 or whatever, but 10 wins is 10 wins. I don't care who you only can play a schedule, you know.
Sure, I understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Johnny. Listen, as I said before, I don't want LaFleur fired. I don't want Jordan Love traded, cut, or whatever the case may be. I'm simply venting like everybody else is about what we've watched here. And that is why Matt LaFleur is not getting fired. Like Johnny said, hey man, winning double digits in this league is not easy. It's not. You can only play the schedule that you have. And for the most part, outside of that crappy Bears game last week, they beat everybody on the schedule that was deemed as good or worse than them. Everybody outside of the Bears. The other three teams they lost to were all seeded higher than them in the playoffs. The Packers were the 7th seed in the playoffs. The last seed. Now, if you watched any of these pregame shows, I saw two people on all the pregame shows pick the Packers. Two. Strahan and Terry Bradshaw on Fox. Neither one of them, I don't believe, regardless of what they say, would have picked them if they weren't chasing in their little pick contest on that show. Otherwise, it would have been all Eagles. No question. But they're chasing, so they had to pick somebody opposite of what everybody else was, so they got forced into making those two picks. Otherwise, they wouldn't have picked the Packers either. Again, coming into this game, there was reason to believe that Philly was going to win in comfortable fashion, probably. There was every reason to believe it. And that's why we talked about it on Friday on Wisconsin Sports Daily. We'll be on tomorrow again from 2 to 5 here on The Fan. That they had to play near perfect football. No mistakes. Very few mistakes. And then you start the game with that boneheaded fumble. Now again, I wouldn't have hung on to the ball. Tommy wouldn't have hung on to the ball. It was a helmet-to-helmet hit upon everything else on Keyshawn Nixon. Then he recovered it, and they still gave it back to the Philadelphia Eagles. It should have been a helmet-to-helmet penalty. It wasn't. So things got off to a bad start. But my God, as bad as you played in the first half, you were still in the game at 10-0. You were still in the game at that point. Still at every chance. You were in the game at 16-10. You were in the game. So you were there. But again, as always, when this team gets down, by the time they figure it out, it ends up being too late. Because then at that point, then they're having to rely on their defense to do something. And outside of the first half, when Halfley decided to dial up a couple of zero blitzes, then and only then did they really do that. And both times they did it, it worked. It forced Jalen Hurts to get rid of the ball. And then what happens in the fourth quarter? We're back to rushing four again. Back to rushing four and hoping that Jalen Hurts can't find anybody open 5 or 6 seconds after the fact. So while, yes, the offense is to blame for this, there is absolutely zero reason in my mind to be rushing four guys at any moment in time against any quarterback in this league unless you have at least two amazing pass rushers that you know can get home semi-regularly. You don't have that. Rashawn Gary played hard. Rashawn Gary was going hard tonight. Nobody's going to question Rashawn Gary's effort. But even with it, with that offensive line, they did the best they could, but they needed more. And they couldn't get it. And then again, you know, special teams. Nobody saw McManus missing a 38-yard field goal in this game. Did that 3 points matter? No. I mean, it could have been 16-13. You really would have been close at that point had he not missed that field goal. But again, at the end of the day, you ended up losing 22-10, so nobody's going to harp on McManus missing that field goal. But that was just another sign of how things consistently did not go the Packers' way in this football game. Just didn't. A lot of the calls didn't go their way in this football game from the refereeing standpoint. Nothing really went their way. And that is awfully hard to overcome again, unless you're uber talented, like Detroit, like Minnesota, you know, you got a ton of weapons, then yeah, maybe you can overcome that type of stuff. But this team, as much as I was hyped and all excited about this offense and these wide receivers and tight ends and quarterback and all of that at the end of last season, I'm nowhere near as excited about any of them right now as I sit here today after the Packers lose 22-10 in the first round. Again, they were supposed to lose. They were the seventh seed. But it's not the fact they lost. It's how they lost that irritates me. What about you, Nicolay Law fan? Talking text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us as well. And that is real nice and simple. At the Fan Milwaukee. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee. What frustrated you the most, Mr. Tommy Wirtz?
I think the forced plays, the forced turnovers today from Jordan Love really were the most frustrating. That interception to Zach Bond was maybe one of the worst reads he's made all year,
right,
it felt
him.
Like.
We haven't heard Jordan Love or Matt LaFleur yet, but if you saw Tucker Kraft stop running on that play, so I don't know if Tucker Kraft was supposed to keep running and didn't, and that's who he was throwing the ball to, because it looked like he was throwing it to the receiver cutting behind Bond. That's maybe who the ball was going to. But all I can come up with, because he threw it right to Bond. Like, he expected Kraft to run in front of Bond and catch that football, and Kraft stopped running. That's my only guess of why that looked as bad as it did. If that's not the reason, that is god-awful.
It was desperation, it looked like, for sure. Absolutely. I'm struggling to figure out if I'm remembering the 2024-25 Packers, if I am thinking that this team lacked playmaking or lacked leadership, because I thought we had it on both sides. I thought we had both of those this year throughout the season. And when it came down to it, the only player we could rely on throughout this stretch of three-game losing streaks felt like Josh Jacobs. Edgerrin Cooper maybe could sneak on that list.
Everybody again, said coming into this game, Edgerrin Cooper had to be that guy. He had to be the difference maker, right? He had to get some tackle for losses. He had to get a sack. He had to get a turnover of some sort. He had to be Superman. He wasn't Superman. He was out there. He played hard, but he wasn't Superman.
It didn't feel like he was getting exposed. And like I said, the rushing attack from Philadelphia wasn't all that scary to me today. I thought the defense could leave with a B minus or higher grade and was fine for what they needed it to be. But at the end, they were getting so thin on relying on guys to be those vocal leaders. And you had another one on the offensive side, Elgton Jenkins, go down early in this game. And when he left, it was a completely different offensive line, it felt like, just by removing that one player. Jordan Love never seemed to really click at 100% in any game this year. You can question that being a leadership tactic. And then the defensive side, after Xavier McKinney had a really hot start to the year, he stopped getting tested all year. And again, the defense seemed to struggle to find that leadership. Maybe even Jair Alexander could have had that, but he went down too. It felt like this season they lacked someone for leadership, and that contributes back to being a really young team, I think, too, on top of it. And we got some comments here on the Nicolay Law fan talk and text line coming in here from the 414. Love did not improve this year. He needs to get better from then for them to take it to the next level. Love the show. And Matt LaFleur needs to stop calling plays. That's from OJ in Omaha as well, too.
Hold on. Okay, yes, Jordan Love needs to get better. I agree. They're not pulling game calling from Matt LaFleur. That's why Matt LaFleur was hired by Mark Murphy, was to be the guy that was going to run the offense, to be the guy that was going to run the offense after Aaron Rodgers was gone, when it was expected that you weren't going to have a Hall of Fame type quarterback, that Matt LaFleur was going to be the guy to orchestrate and run the offense. You're not pulling game calling duties from a guy that took a first-year starter last year to the playoffs and went on the road and upset the two at their place and then gave the Niners all they could handle, more so than anybody else did in the NFC last year, and did that. Then he comes back this year, wins more games than he won last year, and again, it may be the toughest division we've seen in a decade or more, where three teams all have double-figure wins, gets into the postseason again, And yes, they didn't play well in this game. But that is not enough to strip him of play-calling duty at this point.
Well, Sparky,
offense wasn't ranked 25th in the league.
Right.
This was still a good offense throughout the year. It wasn't as smooth as last year in the second half. It may not have been as explosive as it was in the second half last year. But again, that is kind of on him for changing the identity and the identity of this team now, what, four times in 2 years. He has to figure out his identity and play with that. Whatever that's going to be, play with that for 18 games. Play with that going into the postseason, and he keeps changing the script. If you're giving him any advice whatsoever, if you're Brian Gutekunst, it's like, dude, pick what it's going to be, and let's roll, and let's live with whatever comes with it. Let's not keep changing who we're trying to be, you know, every 6 to 8 weeks in a season.
Well, Sparky, if Matt LaFleur, do you think that he has the capability to be, you know, the face of Green Bay, the face of the Packers? Because I think of it as a situation like looking at his counterpart colleague, Sean McVay in L.A. When he won the Super Bowl, it sure felt like Sean McVay was the one being highlighted and praised the most by the end of it. Matthew Stafford, while he had a good run, Aaron Donald, great on defense. But when you thought of the Los Angeles Rams, you thought of Sean McVay. If this Green Bay Packers team had the same mindset where when you think Green Bay Packers, you think Matt LaFleur, do you think he could handle that pressure? Or do you think they are forced to find someone else to have that leadership and that playmaking ability on their team?
This is simple. Sean McVay's never had a Hall of Fame quarterback. So, of course, people think of Sean McVay. When you thought of the Green Bay Packers with Brett Favre, that's who people thought of when you said Packers, was Brett Favre, not who the coach was. Not that it was Holmgren or McCarthy or Sherman or anybody else. It was Brett Favre, the Hall of Famer. When people thought of the Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers, it was Aaron Rodgers. People didn't think of LaFleur or anybody else around, anybody else that was his head coach or McCarthy. It was Aaron Rodgers. So the Packers have not been in this situation since, God, I don't know, Don Majkowski was the last time? When Lindy Infante was the coach? And even when Lindy Infante was the coach, it was Magic and the Miracles that 1 year. It was still about the Magic, man. It was about Majkowski. People didn't talk about Infante. That wasn't a thing. So I couldn't tell you the last time a team revolved around its head coach. Maybe Bart Starr when he was the coach back then. Maybe that was the last time when this team was around 500 every year. Maybe that was the last time a coach was the face of the Packers franchise. It's been a long time since we got to that point. And if we're going to be at that point, then you definitely overpaid Jordan Love and made a mistake if the face of this franchise isn't going to be the quarterback.
The NFC North, you could argue the other two teams that finished ahead are trying that philosophy.
Neither one have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Jared Goff's not that. Sam Darnold's not that at all. Sam Darnold is a rejuvenation project that I still don't know if this is real or not. We'll see. Maybe he ends up being Geno Smith and plays at a high level for the next 5 to 6 years. And if he does, God bless him. That's great. It's a great comeback story. Jared Goff has always been a good quarterback, but maybe can't get you over the hump quarterback. That's kind of what he's been. Yes, he's been in a Super Bowl, but nobody's ever regarded him at that high of a level to any point. Maybe he breaks that stigma, and maybe he gets into that conversation of maybe he is a Hall of Famer some point. But Dan Campbell, you're right, is the face of that franchise. And with the Vikings, I don't know. Is Kevin O'Connell the face of that franchise? Is it Justin Jefferson when you talk about the Vikings? I tend to feel like people talk about Justin Jefferson more than Kevin O'Connell. But yeah, to a degree, yes, Dan Campbell definitely a leader among men, I guess you could say. Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh has been the face of that franchise for a long time. Bill Cowher was the face of that franchise for a long time in Pittsburgh. So I don't know how to answer that. If Matt LaFleur is the face, that means Jordan Love did not live up to the hype, and they're trying to overcome it. And I don't want to go down that path, because if Jordan Love doesn't live up to the hype and they're trying to overcome it, Matt LaFleur is getting fired anyhow, and they're going to have to bring somebody else in to fix it. But if the Packers go to the playoffs for the next 3 to 4 years with all the money Jordan Love is making and with Matt LaFleur, and they don't get to a Super Bowl because it's this fan base who saw a Hall of Famer win a Super Bowl and only go to one Super Bowl, saw another Hall of Famer go to two Super Bowls and win one Super Bowl, anything short of a Super Bowl appearance, even if they go to 5, 6, 7 consecutive years of the playoffs as a wild card, division winner, whatever it may be, they go every year, it will be deemed a failure by this fan base, a failure of Jordan Love, a failure of Matt LaFleur, because they didn't get to a Super Bowl during their tenure as quarterback and head coach. Fair or unfair, That's how it's going to be viewed by this fan base. That's the standard you're being held to. This is not Cleveland right now, where the Browns are trying to figure out which way is up. That's not what this is, right? So the standard is supremely high with this fan base and with, you know, the state with the Green Bay Packers. So again, if it's going to be, if you don't make a Super Bowl, you're a bust, then LaFleur, Love, and Goody are all going to go down together in this one, because I don't think Goody is firing LaFleur as long as they keep making the playoffs. I don't see it happen.
No, I agree completely. I just want to know, I just think that that's what I thought this Green Bay Packers team and what the faith I had in Matt LaFleur to be up until about 3 weeks ago. I thought Matt LaFleur could be the face of this franchise, and I know that might be a bad thing because you're thinking Jordan Love isn't the superstar you need him or want him to be.
That you paid him to be.
But look at the situations like Kyle Shanahan, Harbaugh as well in L.A. when he was in San Francisco. You know, the coach being bigger than the quarterback and still having success. Do you think I just wanted the Packers to be able to have this success because the coach was bigger than the quarterback?
Wait a second. Come at me again. Hold on. Kyle Shanahan postseason success. Talk to me about that.
Kyle Shanahan, while he has not finished the deal in any postseason, has had postseason success.
Well, how good were they this year?
They were very injury depleted, and they were not very good without very good players. I understand that.
And if that would be in Green Bay right now, people would be asking for Matt LaFleur to be fired. If they had a losing season this year, and let's say Jacobs got hurt, whatever else, they'd blame it on LaFleur, and they'd be asking for LaFleur to get fired.
If this team won five games and Jordan Love didn't play a single game and it was Malik Willis the whole year, no way they're calling for LaFleur's job.
Man, people think this team is better off with Malik Willis at quarterback. People in this fan base want Malik Willis to play quarterback more than Jordan Love because they won with Malik Willis. They like the style of offense they ran with Malik Willis and think he's more effective because he runs more than Jordan Love is with his arm, who's inconsistent.
I don't think that that's a fair compromise or a comparison, rather, for two games of Malik Willis where we played two AFC South teams, which was maybe one of the worst divisions in the NFL. And then you go to Jordan Love, who had to play against tough teams, had six games against the Vikings, Lions, and Eagles, who are all three, probably one of those three will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl this year.
Correct.
He had a disappointing game against the Chicago Bears, but he only got to play a quarter and a half of it this last week. And after that, what other games do you want to go off of? In the wins, he looked fine. In the losses, when teams were better and the defense was able to get pressure on him, yes, Jordan Love did not look great. But you cannot leave this season telling me there are 10 quarterbacks that had a season better than Jordan Love this year.
Listen, you don't got to tell me. I'm telling you what I see on a day-to-day basis from this fan base and what I hear when I'm at the grocery store or wherever else I'm at and people want to talk Packers, man. People are on edge. Kyle Shanahan, let's go back to him. His first year in San Francisco, they were 6-10. His second year in San Francisco, they were 4-12. His third year, they were 13-3. Okay, that's really good. NFC champions, and they went and they lost. Then his next year, they were 6-10. 6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10. Matt LaFleur trumps that by a million miles of how Kyle Shanahan started. Now, again, he had a much better quarterback than Shanahan was dealing with. I understand that. But I'm just telling you, it's not easy to win double-digit games year in and year out, year in and year out, then to go to the playoffs two straight years with a first, now second-year starting quarterback, same with the wide receiver, same with the tight end group. And again, youth should not be used as an excuse, so I'm not going to use it. But I am telling you, there is something that plays along with that, that if you're Brian Gutekunst, you are going to factor that in when you're analyzing this team and trying to figure out what you want to do in free agency, what you want to do in the draft, what expectations are going to be for next year as everybody gets a year older. This is all going to play into it. The Packers lose today, 22-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. The year is over. If you want to vent, still got time for you. Nicolay Law fan talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. If you're looking for a new career path, looking to change careers, maybe you're retired, looking for something else to do, that second career, I got something for you. Young Express, they're looking for full-time independent contractors that can drive locally. It's all you're doing is driving. You're going from point A to point B, picking stuff up, dropping stuff off. Now, they're looking for people right now with cargo vans. If you have a cargo van, that makes sense. You can fill in what they're looking for. Sprinter vans also work. 99% no-touch freight, so you don't got to be some big hulking dude in order to make this work. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is just drive. And I know, dispatch, very, very critical, because if you're not driving, not making any money. They have a 24-7 dispatch team at Young Express with over 700 direct customers. They will make sure to keep you busy so you're making money. Again, looking for full-time independent contractors, join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's J-U-N-G-Express.com. Young Express, success drives them. Coming up next, we will hear from Matt LaFleur still. We'll hear from Jordan Love still. We still got to go inside the box score, which I wanted to do in this segment, and we didn't get to. And, of course, more time for you as well here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, here on The Fan.
All about that nasty D. They're all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers lose this one 22-10 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Tommy Wirtz producing the show. Other side of the glass, we will get to hearing from Jordan Love. We will get to hearing from Matt LaFleur as well. I'm seeing some quotes online from Matt LaFleur that I'm shaking my head over. But nonetheless, we will get to that coming up in a few minutes. Still time for you as well, Nicolay Law, fan talk and text line. If you want to vent, here we go, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Tweet us at TheFanMilwaukee. As well, defensive play of the game. We always let Tommy Wirtz figure out which one that is going to be. In a loss, obviously, always a little bit tougher to find that play. What say you, Tommy Wirtz?
Yeah, defensive play of the game. You're going to hear a highlight here, and the player highlighted, I don't even think maybe did the best job on this play. Let's go back to when the Packers were down 10-0, and they got a sack on Jalen Hurts.
Away from the ball, as Hurts back to throw. Has time. Now some pressure. He's in trouble, and he is dropped. Rashawn Gary. It took a while, but he got there, and he's got the sack.
Rashawn Gary getting into the quarterback on Jalen Hurts. He had so much time, Sparky.
It was a coverage sack.
It was a coverage sack.
Yeah.
It might have been the best that the defense looked all day today.
That touchdown pass that he threw in the beginning, what did he have? 6.5, 7 seconds? To throw that football because they were running four? And again, we've been talking about the offense a lot. I'm sorry, man. You are not beating these good teams running four guys. You're not. Not our four guys. Not at this point. You can't ask them to consistently get home against one of the better offensive linemen. They got, what, three guys up for All-Pro, had All-Pro votes? 3 of 5? And you think you're getting home with just four? It wasn't until the next time they saw the ball when they were down there, when they forced him to a field goal, where he finally started to bring the house. And when he did both times, Hurts got hurried up and he threw a bad throw both times. And then it went away and we didn't see it. On the drive where they went down, when it was 16-10, what were we doing? Same old, just let him move the football. I don't understand. I really don't. I get you're scared of Saquon Barkley, you know, killing you. Fine, I get it. You're worried about A.J. Brown beating you deep. A.J. Brown, give Jeff Hafley credit on this. Give Eric Stokes and Carrington Valentine and the safeties, whoever, give them all credit. A.J. Brown was a non-factor. He was such a non-factor, he was reading a book during the game. Because he was essentially just running around. I'm not going to say he was a decoy, but they pretty much took him away. They took Devontae Smith away. Nobody really killed them, per se, as far as Jalen Hurts throwing the football. There wasn't a guy where you're like, my God, can't we just cover that guy? That wasn't a thing. And if we're being honest about it, with this Jeff Hafley defense, it hasn't been a thing all year. They haven't been getting torched by and giving up big games to wide receivers all year. That's a benefit of this defense, similar to what Vic Fangio runs for Philadelphia, right? He doesn't have that receiver getting big big games against them. Now, can they get explosive plays against them? Yes. But do they normally try and keep everybody in front of them? Yes. That's the style of defense that he plays. That's the style of defense that Matt LaFleur wants to play. Limit explosives and make them dink and dunk their way down the field. The problem is when you have elite talent on the offensive side of the football, they are going to do that when they have to. They just are. You think about it. You're playing without your best cornerback for how many weeks now? And for the most part, this defense still has looked okay. They still, for the most part, have been okay. You are playing without Evan Williams, which I think is a huge loss. And you got him back tonight, which is good. You got Quay Walker back. And again, I'm sure we'll hear from Andy Herman on the Pack-A-Day radio show tomorrow morning from 8 to 9 what kind of job Quay Walker did in this game. But getting him back, that was a huge benefit. Because then you could have him and Edgerrin Cooper both out there together. Two athletic linebackers that can run and do their job. Cooper more than Walker to a certain degree. But Walker's got, you know, some time in the defense already where Cooper can still make those mental mistakes. So that helps getting him back on the defensive side of the ball. But at the end of the day, did Jeff Hafley really use Edgerrin Cooper the way he should have? Should he have brought Edgerrin Cooper more at Jalen Hurts and blitzes and different things like that than he did? I think you might be able to argue, yes, Tommy Wirtz. I think you might be able to argue that he should have been a guy that should have been constantly from one side of the field to the other just bringing pressure against him.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier, the play where they had that stunt blitz with the two linebackers right over center. They had Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper ready to both blitz. One of them did, one of them didn't. And Quay Walker, when he dropped back, fooled the center. The center then chased Quay Walker, left open the middle of the line for Edgerrin Cooper to get up there, and they never went back to anything like that. That is the one thing that Jeff Hafley needs to be criticized for, is his inability to dial up any sort of pressure with blitzes, or at least consistently call pressure with blitzes, because this team showed that when they call the blitz, they can get there, and mainly it was effective when they went through the middle of the line rather than from the edge, but he was so stubborn on getting four guys to be the men who make pressure for this Green Bay Packers team, and he died on that sword the entire season. We were complaining about this. Do you know when we were complaining about this, Sparky? The last time they played the Philadelphia Eagles. The very first game of the season, we were talking about how they were trying to send four and it was not working. And every week after that, we found ourselves finding some angle around that is if they brought four, it wasn't effective. And when they did not bring four or more than four, it was much more effective for this Green Bay Packers defense.
It's something that I've struggled with all year. It really is. And I understand defensively they are definitely better than they were under Joe Barry. This defense definitely has held their own and made impact plays throughout the year, especially early on when Xavier McKinney, you know, earned his All-Pro in the first half of the year, getting all those turnovers. He was definitely doing his thing. But again, now you come back to tonight, and what happens? You got three interceptions and a fumble. Your defense got nothing. Nothing at all. And when you're in a big game like this, your defense needs to show up and do something. Make a big play. Get a turnover. Get a fumble. Strip a ball. Do something. Punch a ball out. And you weren't able to create turnovers with your defense in this game against this offense. Your offense was giving the ball away left and right. Now, again, there's nothing you can do. And considering how many times they gave it away, the Packers defense did a really good job not giving up points each and every time they kept turning the ball over. So, again, credit to the Packers defense for that. But at the end of the day, you still also have to get a turnover or two and help your offense out. And they weren't able to make those plays in this game. And again, you can talk about every phase of this team and you can be mad with something. You can be mad about blocking on kick returns. You can be mad about McManus missing a field goal for special teams. We've talked about the offense, which you can be mad about. We've talked about the defense, which you can be mad about. There's several things. And that's why I say next year is a big year. For me, at least. Now, you and I may disagree, and that's okay. But if this doesn't look a lot more like the second half of last year, next year, there's going to be a lot of cause for concern as far as did they make the right decision going with Jordan Love, giving him all that money? Did they make the right decision with Matt LaFleur being the guy going forward? Because if this offense looks like it did this year again next year, where it's disjointed, where last year in the first quarter of the year, first half of the year, it was one thing. Second half of the year, it was another. This year, the first half of the year, it was two different things because Jordan Love got hurt for a couple of games, and then he ran a Malik Willis offense. And then in the second half of the year, it was something completely different than what they were trying to run in the beginning of the year with Jordan Love. He's essentially run four different things over the course of two damn years. If this happens again next year, where if we see yet again one identity in the first half of the year and then we switch to another identity in the second half of the year, folks, it's all messed up. You can blame LaFleur, you can blame Love, whoever, but it's going to be very hard to win that way. Kyle Shanahan runs his offense. For better or worse, he's going to run his stuff. Jim Harbaugh is going to run his stuff. For better or worse, he's running his offense. Andy Reid, better or worse, is going to do what Andy Reid always does. There's that consistency factor here. That has got to come into play here. And part of that has to be using more play action in this offense. You're going to hear that nonstop for the next several months until the Packers play a preseason game about all these people that cover the Packers are all going to be saying the same type of stuff. You're not going to hear a lot of different stuff. Because I'm pretty sure everybody is in step with play action has got to be more of this offense moving forward. If you want to hop aboard and you want to vent, feel free. Nicolay Law, fan talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Coming up next, who are we going to hear from? Tommy Wirtz. We're going to hear from Matt LaFleur. We're going to hear from Jordan
Love.
We got
Matt LaFleur first.
Beautiful. All right, we'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur straight ahead, 8 o'clock here on a Sunday night.
What play or plays changed today's game? It's time for the turning point of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Packers lose 22-10. Not happy about it. I don't think you're happy about it. So we've got more than enough time for you to vent as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Dial up the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Turning point of the game. I'll start, and then I'll let Tommy Wirtz, our producer, give his turning point before we hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. It's the opening kickoff. That was it. That to me, pretty much set the tone for the rest of the game of kind of how this whole thing was going to go, at least from my perspective as a fan. Put a bad taste in your mouth, and you really were never able to kind of shake that taste out of your mouth as one thing after another consistently went wrong for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I cannot agree with you more. Sparky, you knew from there that you were going to have some disdain. That opening kick by Keyshawn Nixon, not only did it feel like you get robbed from the hit, you thought he recovered it. I don't know. They didn't discuss if that aerial view was there, but definitely that opening kick, very, very hard to swallow for the Green Bay Packers.
Here's Keyshawn Nixon, the all-pro returner for Green Bay. And that gets decked up in through the 30. The ball came out there. Who's going to come out of it? Eagles say they have it. Wow. Eagles recover.
I don't know why. Did they not talk about, I must have missed it. Did like Mike Pereira not say they didn't have that aerial view of that cover of the recovery?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they all agreed that they, you mean what they said on the broadcast? They said that the replay didn't have the same views as what they had, I believe is what they said.
So correct. Why are we getting this aerial view that pretty much obviously shows Keyshawn Nixon re-recovering or recovering the football, and then they show that three times to the audience, and then it says the call stands? Because that's a really bad call, and it feels like that's another situation where Eye in the Sky, which has been very sketched the last few weeks in Packer games, could have helped out too.
This is the thing. That helmet-to-helmet hit that I said, because that looked like a helmet-to-helmet hit to me. Brady said, oh, that was a clean hit. That was a good hit. But again, I watched that thing on Twitter. I watched that thing on the DVR here because I was recording the game. I'm broadcasting from home, for those of you that don't know. And I watched it here as well multiple times. Looked like a helmet to helmet. I see Wayne Larrivee, who I like a lot, said that's a bad angle. He hit the ball with his helmet. I don't know, man. Like, if you just turn the sound up, you can hear the two helmets collide. You don't even have to be looking at the TV screen. You can hear them smack each other. Can you not?
I didn't know in the moment that it was helmet to helmet. I thought it was a clean hit in the moment. After going back, looking at angles of video and Twitter and pictures, yeah, it does look like helmet to helmet. I'm not overly mad that that didn't get called, but the recovery seemed so obvious that Keyshawn yes. Nixon was wrapped around it that infuriated me that we ended up, you know, they looked like they were going to just run the offense out there, and then they finally stopped the whole play, and they went to the review, and I thought they were going to get the call right, and it came back, just wasted everyone's time, call stands.
Yep, he wasted everybody's time. That's the best line of the night. That game wasted everybody's time for the most part tonight. We all could have been doing something else. Either way, Matt LaFleur was part of the reason why that wasted our time tonight. Let's hear what the Packers head coach had to say after this one. How many wide receivers were given the ball on a handoff tonight?
Are you asking me?
None. Not a single wide receiver was given the ball on a handoff. Not one. You had Tucker Kraft behind center a couple of times. Again, more than Jordan Love. Jordan Love had a couple of runs, including one big one. And then Emmanuel Wilson had 3 carries for 6 yards. Josh Jacobs, 18 for 81 and a touchdown. Again, another game against an elite NFC team, and you go away from handing the ball off to wide receivers and doing what got you to this point that helped get you 11 wins. You pulled the same garbage when you faced the Lions and the Vikings this year, and then you did the same thing in this game here against Philadelphia. Again, I'm not going to say he coaches scared in big games, but my God, I don't understand why when something works throughout the year and you get to play a really good team, you're like, oh, they're going to stop it, so we're not going to call it. It'll never work against these guys. These guys are too good. The Saints, they suck, so I can run it against them. But these guys, oh, they're way too good. We can't do that. We're just going to have to run more basic stuff in order to beat them. They're too smart for us. I swear to God, that's how I feel like he thinks sometimes. I do not understand it. I do not get it. Go on with the press conference. What do you mean? He was looking right at him. So if that wasn't Tucker Kraft should have been running in front of Bond to catch that ball, then how was it not a player thing? How was that a schematic thing? He was looking right at him. Am I missing something, Tommy Wirtz?
No, I think what we're seeing here is Matt LaFleur is easily frazzled. If things schematically do not line up in his favor from the beginning of the game, he has crumbled this year and looked really bad at the end of those games.
A majority of the year, Matt LaFleur has driven me nuts with his press conferences. Tonight is no different. No different whatsoever. When we talk about what happens in the offseason and what changes and so forth, he's got to figure out who he's going to be. Like, that's it. He's got to figure out who he's going to be, what the identity of the offense is going to be. Is he going to be an aggressive guy on fourth down? Is he going to be a conservative guy on fourth down? And I'll be honest, I don't care which one he picks. I don't care. Just pick one. All this stuff of, oh, I'm going to go with my gut. Well, our offense was playing good there, so we went for it. Okay, but you didn't go for it the first time, so you weren't confident in your offense the first time, but you were the second time. Remember that one? This is the thing. He has to figure out who he is. What kind of coach do you want to be as a head coach? And whatever that is, find that road and don't veer off of it. Stay on that road. For better or worse, we're staying on this road. I'm going to be conservative. This is the type of offense we're going to run. And here we go for, 17 games. This is what we're doing. That's it. Or I'm going to be super aggressive like Dan Campbell. We're going to take risks. We're going to run trick plays. We're going to take big chances to try to get big plays. We're going to go for it on fourth down more than we don't. And we're going to become that team next year. Fine. But if it doesn't work in 2 weeks, don't revert back to being, I don't know what I'm going to do in week 3. And then by week 8, maybe we're going to be conservative. And then week 12, we're going to be ultra aggressive now for 2 or 3 weeks. And now I'm going to play it by my gut. No. Quit being wishy-washy and pick a damn route and follow it and don't abandon it. earlier Tommy asked, you know, can he be the face of the franchise? Can he be that Dan Campbell? What makes Dan Campbell great is there's no question where he stands on anything. Nothing. There is no gray area with Dan Campbell. It is all black and white. That's how that man operates. You may like it, you may not, but you know where he stands. You know what he's trying to get done and how he's trying to get it done. And he'll tell you. It's not a secret. I don't feel like they know where Matt LaFleur wants to go.
Well,
or what he's trying to get done at the end of the day when they get into these situations.
Sparky, he's never going to be Dan Campbell.
I'm not asking him to be. I'm just asking him to pick a route. Just pick which one you want to be, because you can't be a chameleon and expect everybody to get on board with it.
He's also not going to relinquish any control now on top of it. Whatever he's had, he's going to keep. And you're arguing that the identity kept changing. Well, now it looks like when we reflect back after we've seen the whole season, the identity was inconsistency all year. From every single player other than Josh Jacobs, there was inconsistency. Every single position. If you look at the kicking position where Brandon McManus was great, it sucked at the beginning of the year. It also falters at the end today. The Jordan Love quarterback play, inconsistent all year. The young wide receivers, inconsistent all year. When they needed to be great, the offensive line crumbles and the health was not consistent in the playoffs. This team's identity revolved around inconsistency rather than saying, oh, they changed it so many times. They never had one now.
I agree with you. I don't disagree. And these are the conversations that Brian Gutekunst has to figure out in his mind, along with others. Yeah, you know, I see on social media, people are mad at Mark Murphy. Okay, first of all, he's done. You understand? Like, the draft is his last hurrah, and then it's toodles, peace out. If you missed the interview he did with Mason Crosby, what was it, this last week, week before?
Thursday,
go back, listen to the interview with Mark Murphy on your Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, go to thefanmilwaukee.com, listen to the interview with Mark Murphy. This is it. This is Ed Policy's show now. He's going to be the new guy. I'm seeing people on Twitter, well, they should have got somebody at the deadline. Okay, that's Goody. Okay, that is what that is. But as far as how much money you're going to spend in free agency, are you going to go try and get T. Higgins? Because they got a ton of cap room, y'all. They got like $62 million. Are they going to go get T. Higgins? You going to try and make a move for Devontae Adams, whatever that may be? Fine. But who is going to get on board with that? Who's going to sign on? Because Ed Policy, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, they all got to be on the same page here if we're going to do this. Because in my mind, if Mark Murphy is done come whatever it is, May or whatever, he can't be involved in what they're doing in free agency. They have to let Ed Policy be involved in this as far as signing off on whatever they're going to do this offseason. Policy now has to kind of be in control. Let Murphy worry about the NFL and the draft and all that stuff, and Policy be concerned about football operations and making sure this is going the right way with Gutekunst and Russ Ball.
Well, Sparky, do you think that even if they make a move at the deadline, do you think that this team was one guy away?
No.
They were not one guy away.
No,
they might
offense,
have been one
though,
guy on both sides of the ball away, but
offense,
at minimum two.
This offense, though, is much better with Devontae Adams.
Yes.
I mean, you can say whatever you want about the defense and needing a corner, and I agree they needed a corner for sure, right? But if Devontae Adams is traded for at the deadline, if he, instead of him going to the Jets, he goes to the Packers, isn't this offense much better? Aren't you much better tonight against the Eagles if you had Devontae Adams on the field this whole time with a legitimate go-to guy? I mean, I think it changes everything. And Devontae Adams was just on with Kay Adams, what was it, Friday or whatever, talking about he's open to pretty much going wherever. If he doesn't end up being in New York, like, he's not against going home again, back to Green Bay or wherever he has to go. So from that perspective, I just think it has to be considered. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I think you have to think about it. Let's see what Jordan Love looks like with a true dominant one. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had Jordy Nelson, had Devontae Adams. Driver wasn't a one necessarily, but had Donald Driver. Was really damn good his whole career.
Greg Jennings?
No, not really. No, Jennings was more Favre. And some Rodgers, I guess, too, at the
end. Super Bowl with him,
Nelson.
Right?
Yeah, Jennings and Jordy Nelson and those guys, yeah. So I guess, yeah, sure. But you don't have that right now with this team. You don't have that guy. And those guys that we're talking about, they grew up within the Packers offense. The difference is they all weren't young together having to figure it out together. All those guys had vets in front of them playing and had time to learn before they got thrust in the spotlight. These guys got to go out and produce right away. They don't have that vet leading. You don't have a vet leading that wide receiver room. They need a vet leading the wide receiver room to show them, this is how we're going to go about stuff. This is important. All this stuff. And that true one to know that, hey, man, I don't care what they run defensively, Jordan. I'm going to get open. I will be open on this 3rd and 5. Just look for me and throw me the damn football. I'll go get it. We need a touchdown. Throw it up. I'll jump over the DB. I'll go get the damn ball. I'll get it. That's what you need right now. You don't have that. You have to figure out how to get that to make this offense get to the next level. That is one thing that has to happen. All right, take a quick timeout. Packers lose 22-10. Coming up next, we'll hear from Jordan Love. If you still want to get aboard, you can. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at the Fan Milwaukee as well. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. It is the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. 22-10. Wasn't pretty at all. Horrible. Matt LaFleur told the sideline reporter at half of this game tonight that they lost 22-10, that it was the worst first half the Packers have played all year. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but it wasn't pretty either way. And from this nonsense, we have to find an MVP to the game tonight as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. MVP of the game. I don't know, man. There's not a whole bunch to choose from if we're being honest in this thing. I guess I would go Josh Jacobs, 18 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown. On the defensive side of the football, you had, what, 2 sacks in the game. You had 2 tackle for losses, quarterback hits. You had 5 quarterback hits. Nobody had more. Oh, no. Colby Wooden, I guess, would be the guy over there. He had a half a sack plus 2 quarterback hits, so maybe he's up for a discussion. I guess I'm gonna go Josh Jacobs, MVP of the game. What say you?
I don't know. I'll throw it away. Let's just go Eric Stokes. He didn't make me yell at the TV today, and he could have easily done that. So Eric Stokes, you can get it on a day where no one really deserves it.
Eric Stokes?
Yep.
Not a single tackle.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying. 22-10, Eagles over the Packers. Let's hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love, who definitely wasn't the MVP. 20 of 33, 212 yards, 3 interceptions, sacked a couple of times, had a quarterback rating of 41.5. That's brutal. Here's Jordan Love. Tommy Wirtz, I'll ask you, what did he do better this year than he did last year, Jordan Love?
Oh, it's a great question.
It's an easy answer.
I don't think there is much.
No, I don't think there is either. And again, tomorrow morning, Packaday Radio Show, Green and Gold Monday, last one of the year, Andy Herman. I'm sure we'll be talking about this tomorrow, 9 to 11, Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Mason will be giving his feedback at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Randall Cobb, former Packers wide receiver, will be on the show tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock giving his feedback too. And then it's the Rich Eisen Show. I'm sure they'll be talking about the Packer game from 11 to 2. And then we'll be back on Wisconsin Sports Daily, myself and Charlie Usen. And hopefully I'll be less angry than I am right now after a good night's sleep. I said that last week after the Bears game and nothing changed. I just got more angry on Monday. So no guarantees there. But if you're asking me, did he get better? I don't know how you could possibly say that. He was hurt half the year, first of all. So you're not on the field for, what, 2.5 games throughout the course of the season. So that's not good. And then when we start talking about the things that he did better, I don't know what those are. I don't, because in the second half of last year, he didn't throw interceptions, but he was still making big plays. Second half of this year, he wasn't making the big plays, and he wasn't throwing interceptions. So can you say that's better than last year? I don't think you can. And again, I'm sure those that watch the All 22 and dive into the meats and potatoes would be like, oh, well, this throw here that he made last year had a higher percentage completion rate than it did last year, Sparky. So he got better there. Fine. That's fine. You dive in and you look at all those numbers, and that's great. I'm just telling you, as a fan watching this guy play, I don't think he got better from last year. I don't see where he got better from last year. I don't see it. I have no idea what it would be, but I don't see it. Packers lose 22-10. Thanks for tuning in all season long, hanging out with us here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Thanks to them for being a great sponsor all year long. Love John Young and all those guys and ladies over there at Young Express. Also, thanks to Steel Wind Industries, our guardian angel of the toy drive, for sponsoring our Inside the Box segment all this season as well. They're a great backbone for Oak Creek and everybody else. So thanks to Steel Wind Industries for being a part of it. Tommy Wirtz has been amazing producing the show all year with some of his crazy takes and going back and forth with me and having patience of dealing with me getting mad throughout the season at different things. So my thanks to him. And again, tomorrow, make sure to tune in that Mason Crosby show, 9 to 11. Randall Cobb, former Packers wide receiver, is in town, actually, for a signing at a Verizon store in Glendale, I believe, tomorrow night. And that's why he's coming on the Mason Crosby show tomorrow morning to help promote that. And then, obviously, talk about the loss tonight to the Philadelphia Eagles, 22-10. We'll join the Infinity Sports Network in progress coming up next. That'll do it for another season. We'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon starting at 2. Packers lose 22-10. It has been the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, as we've been broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Toodles!